July 15th. Current events. Three Christian colleges take shocking stand on homosexual policies. Supreme Court ruled that state governments across the nation must issue and recognize same-sex marriages. We all know that, right? Two Fridays ago, the Supreme Court did that. But Hope College, a Reformed church in America, that's right in Holland, Michigan. You guys ever heard of Hope College? It's pictured right above. Michigan, who is one of the 14 states whose ban on same-sex marriage was still intact when the Supreme Court ruled on June 26, did not legally recognize those spousal relationships until the high court's decision. But now, Hope College said, we do not discriminate at all in any form of employment policy and practices on the basis of sexual orientation. Here is a Christian college. It's crazy to me. But we're not discriminate against you in any sexual orientation, marital status, or what you do whatsoever. We welcome anybody, student, staff, faculty, based on the ability to contribute to the life at the college. It doesn't matter what sexual orientation you are. So you're going to a Christian college, and it doesn't matter if you're in a lifestyle of sin. It doesn't matter. Secondly, second college, Notre Dame. Well, Pastor, that's a Catholic. Well, yeah. Did you know the Catholic Church has taken used to take a very hard stance on this? But in the last couple months, with the current pope has backtracked a little bit. But it says Notre Dame has began to extend spousal benefits in the wake of federal court overturning Indiana's prohibition on same-sex marriage. Why did they do it? Because in the wake of federal court, you're talking about money, funding. You guys see how funding changes things. Money changes things. At the end of time, why would people ever take the mark? Because you got to eat. You got to make money. Money, 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 money. The enemy knows where your weak spot is, and God always disciplines where our weak spot is. We went over that for 3 weeks. Belmont University is another one. This is Nashville. Belmont University, non-denominational Christian university, requires its employees, and this is, now get a hold of this, it requires its employees to uphold Jesus as the Christ and as the measure of all things in whatever it says to do, except for they've decided to change their policy towards same-sex marriage. So they kept that, but then they decided to change that. Now, those were the three Christian colleges in this article, but a fourth college has been added to that, and that's Baylor University. You guys know that's the largest Baptist university, about 42,000 attendees to that college. It says the largest Baptist institution of higher learning has also initiated a major policy change in removing homosexual acts from its list of punishable offenses and its sexual misconduct policies. So there is a misconduct policy that college would have. It has removed homosexual acts, but it has kept fornication and adultery. Because those are wrong. Once we grasp this, a Christian college, 42,000. Now, can you imagine if you're going to church somewhere and this is where we always send our kids to college, all of a sudden to college. Oh, now you understand the dilemma. Well, I went to Baylor and she went to Baylor and my aunt went to Baylor and now all of a sudden, well, you know what, honey, we're going to still send you to that college, but just don't listen to that part of it. It doesn't matter anymore because it's all part of that now. All the teaching, everything will lead to that. But if you read this, it's just the craziest thing. Thinking to themselves wise, the Bible says they became fools. So it says, a major policy removing as its punishable offenses and sexual misconduct. But fornication and adultery is wrong. But that's okay. So this is you understand how confusing it must be to be a young person? As Sunday, if you were here, we understand culturally, the Bible, we lived in a time for most of us that it was really predominantly Bible. Even if it was a non-Christian organization or company you worked for, a lot of these things were constituted and instituted with biblical principles. But now it's very blurred. So we need to pray for our young people. We need to pray for our teachers. It's a very critical time for them as well. Does everybody remember what the symbol was? What does the symbol stand for? Anybody remember? Let me help you out. It's a nation. I heard it. Ron, Saudi Arabia. Ron did give everyone 3 seconds to answer. So thank you, Ron, for that moment of letting you. But Ron got it. Saudi Arabia. And there is a new, remember King Abdullah was over for probably, I forget, 30 years or so. But currently in January, King Salman has now taken the reins over Saudi Arabia. It's a monarchy, which means he also serves, it's the House of Saud, and he's over the two mosques as well. We talked about that last fall. That's in Mecca and Medina. So he serves as not only as a governmental part, but the religious one as well. He, based upon what the current news is, if you saw that the United States has struck a deal with Iran, did you guys see that? Right? I mean, I hope so. I was like, okay. He said that Arab countries, once again, this is the king of Saudi Arabia. He said, now with what the United States has done, Arab countries have deep fears of Iran gaining nuclear weapons. We have been skeptical of that deal ever since the beginning. But equally high for key Sunni-dominated Gulf allies, the Sunni and the Shiite Muslims you can hear on the news all the time, those are the ones that are fighting inside of Iraq right now, up and down not just the Tigris but the Euphrates River. And all throughout the Middle East, you have two different groups going on. And he said, there's going to be an economic windfall now for Iran. The Arab world has been polarized for years, wondering what would happen ever since the Iran and Gulf powers have been intertwined with what's been going on with nuclear power, especially in regards to Israel. The king said, in Syria and Iran, the support now has ensured the survival of President Assad. Now that the United States has given this over and has kind of walked away, President Assad will continue. And this is the important part. So King Salman of Saudi Arabia said, deal or no deal, tension in this region is not going to go away. It's only going to get worse. If Iran, this is the key, if Iran is bent on acting, this is his word, I had to look this up, hegemony, if they're bent on acting that way, which means if they want to be a one-country ruler of the Middle East. King Salman of Saudi Arabia said, Iran is bent on ruling the Middle East. One leader ruling all the Middle East. He says, we are in for some very tumultuous times in the next few years. Wow. I don't know if he knows this very well, but he seemed to quote it. This is what's going on. Bible said that would happen. So watch more and more of that. It's going to be taking place in the news now that this deal has been struck. What is this, a picture of everyone? Colosseum. There was a terrorist attack outside the Roman Colosseum yesterday. Man shouting, Allah is great, took a woman hostage who was vacationing at knife point, dropped her to her knees, put the knife behind her just as ISIS has been doing in all his pictures. All the vacationers obviously would freaked out. I don't know if that's a normal vacation thing that they would do there. So as they just scattered, it says the attacker held a 26-year-old woman hostage for several minutes, shouting Islamist remarks until the police arrived, and he fled afoot. Witnesses says it seemed like a scene just like we've been watching from ISIS right on TV. The way she was made to go down on her knees, face everyone, he held the knife to her throat facing out. The only thing that was missing, she said, was the orange jumpsuit or a black veil across his head. The suspect was identified as a 33-year-old Brazilian man who had moved from Brazil to be part of ISIS. It's happening all around. I'm not here to scare you. I'm here to prepare you. So to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, everyone. You got to keep living your life. You don't go out looking to die, but because Jesus has us here for a reason. But if you do, for whatever reason. Okay, anyone who is this right here? Oh, not that. Right there. Who is this? President of Iran, whose name is? Hassan Rouhani. As he found out about the news of the nuclear deal, He said, "Praise be to Allah, we have achieved all our goals in the nuclear deal with the United States. We were able to get all sanctions removed while keeping every single one of our nuclear facilities and getting off of the UN threat to peace list and more." Glowing at a press conference, he said about how his regime had achieved all of its goals in the negotiations. Rouhani stated at the start of the talks, the two major goals for Iran were to remove all sanctions and to keep its entire nuclear program. He goes, and that is exactly what we did. We are more surprised than the rest of the world. This is a president of Iran. Okay, now I just want you to understand something. Did you know that God allows anything that he wants you to happen? Well, we should, I'm not saying we should or shouldn't have. I'm saying is God allows things to happen. Why? Because we're on his timetable. We're not anybody else's. Well, if they wouldn't have done the deal, we could have extended the time until Jesus came for like 8 more years. No, we don't know that. So don't get caught up in that. Just understand this is what's going on. So when these things happen on the news, yeah, you might get upset. You say, why did we do that? But understand there's a bigger picture. Now with the IR-8 centrifuges and different things that they will be producing, this is now going into not just Saudi Arabia, but many of the Middle East countries. It says, as a result of the United States backing down on their advancements for the advanced centrifuges, they're going to be 20 times more faster than the regular ones for Iran to obtain. It says, this is the Middle East now. This isn't our CIA, FBI, OS, this is not anything. It says, Iran can obtain a nuclear arsenal within 4 weeks now. Lift it off. Now you understand why the Middle East is mad. The Middle East is mad about this deal. So I want to go a little local news before we begin here. I want to say local, the United States. Have you guys seen images of this video anywhere? Anybody know who this is? The head of Planned Parenthood. This is Senior Director of Medical Services, Deborah Nucatola. She was videotaped, unbeknownst to herself, at dinner, saying that with that Planned Parenthood, when they kill the babies, they harvest the livers, hearts, lungs, and limbs so they can sell them. This is all over the news. It was a 2.5-year undercover investigation, and the organization says this is not, and the organization is a center of medical process. They said this is only one of several videos that are going to be released to show you Planned Parenthood's actual intent and motive of why they exist. So as she went on, and there was transcripts you can get from the video, says they just want, this is what they're talking about, how to talk to these women and girls when they come in for abortions. Says we need to do it in such a way that it's not perceived as the clinic is selling tissue, this clinic is making money off of this. We have to let them know, you just need to abort, because that we don't want them to know we're actually making money off of this. You guys see this? Now, this is also part of Planned Parenthood. Did you know almost two-thirds of their funding comes from our tax dollars? Another 22% comes from people who want to see depopulation in the world. So there is an agenda going on here. Like I said, I'm not saying this is the only end times thing. This has been going on forever. But this is part goes back to honoring a nation. God says, this is part of the cycle of that people repeat that angers God. So watch for more of this in the news as more video gets released. Bobby Jindal, who is the governor of Louisiana, he's got all his office that was free. He is investigating Planned Parenthood Louisiana, and he wants to shut it down within 4 weeks out of the whole state. He wants to be done with it. So watch for more of this. But this is a part of, something's not right. It's evil. It's wrong. The ones who are righteous, you need to step up and just go after it. And we need to shut it down. So lastly, the Greece debate. We talked about this last week and the week before. Three weeks before that. With all the monies that's going on, they are protested in the streets because it looks as if they are going to accept an $86 billion bailout, which would be their third within the last year and a half, with many more to come. with many more to come. The new legislation includes tax raises and increases to the retirement age to age 69. Plus, they've stopped paying retirement funding. Right now, that's been cut down to about 30% of the original package. The vote is expected to pass, but with much opposition. But once again, this is what the Prime Minister, if I don't have your support, meaning I'm going to accept this bailout even though I don't agree with it, but it's the only way I can see it. And if you don't support me, it's going to be hard for me to remain as Prime Minister. So if you don't vote, I'm leaving. Once again, they're finding a way to pressure because he's very well loved in Greece, but you got to watch out for this. So you caught up on the news a little bit. It's obviously not an exhaustive list, but it's enough. We're crisscrossing, so you have some things to talk about tonight while you're having pizza or ice cream or whatever that is. Okay, all right. Everyone got their notes? The Time of the End, Part 3. Time of the End, Part 3. Time of the End, Part 3, right out of the headlines every single week. Last week, we studied the time of the end, that the borders would collapse. Remember the 10 nations that we talked about? The Bible says that borders would start collapsing. In Hebrews, it says things are going to start shaking and borders would collapse. So how would we recognize countries anymore? It says ISIS, or this end times army, is spreading out over all the different nations. We also looked at there will be kings from the north and kings from the south who come up against the Antichrist in this 10-nationed army. Remember the Euphrates River would have to dry up to the north? The Euphrates River runs from the northwest to the southeast location, cuts right across, goes right in from Turkey, right across Iraq, all the way, and dumps out into Kuwait, Syria, and then Iraq, and dumps out into Kuwait. That whole river is going to dry up, Bible says, so that the armies from the north can come across it. We went through different empires in history, which confirms the word, and the word confirms history. Isn't it interesting? These things were prophesied, and then we can look back at history and say, oh yeah, it did happen. So these things were laid out by men under the power of the Holy Spirit, saying this is how it's going to be. So you could see, we looked at the Roman Empire, we looked at the Byzantine Empire, and we looked at the Ottoman Empire. That Byzantine Empire, predominantly Christian, same region, same location as that original Roman Empire, and there was different changes and so forth throughout the hundreds of years. Then the Ottoman Empire, and you'll see this in movies, the Turks, the Ottoman Turks, and that's where you see, like in those old movies, them fighting each other, the Christians and the Muslims, and they fight each other. The Ottoman Turks, right, they took over about 400 years. They came in basically that same area as the Roman Empire, basically the same area as the Byzantine Empire. And they ruled for about 400 years. We concluded with the final two empires mentioned. So there was five empires mentioned that had already taken place that was prophesied. There was one at that time and two more to come. And this is Revelation 17:10. It's in your notes. There are seven kings or seven kingdoms. Five are fallen and one is, and the one other is not yet to come. So there's going to be seven kingdoms, and then there's going to be additional one, an eighth. One is yet to come. Everyone understand that? And five are already fallen. Five kingdoms have already come, and we went over that last week from the Medes and so forth. We went all through all that. And the beast, back half of verse 10. And when he comes, he must continue this short space. We looked at short space last week. We looked at the Hebrew and the Greek, and that's for a 3.5-year period, 42 months, or 1,260 days. And the beast, which is the system of the Antichrist. Okay? The beast is the system of the Antichrist. That was and is not, even he is the eighth, meaning the eighth empire. This beast, an Antichrist, is going to be this eighth empire, and he is of the seven. So of the previous seven empires, he's going to come out of that. When we looked at the last seven, there's seven empires. Five had already been, six. The sixth empire, they were writing this at the time, was Roman Empire. Then there is the empire, and we're going to look at this for the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, which is the seventh empire. And then finally the eighth empire. You guys with me? Just doing a little recap. So this eighth empire is going to come out from one of the seven, meaning that region, he's going to come out of that. and goes into perdition or destruction. And the 10 horns, verse 12, which thou saw are 10 kings, which received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings in 1 hour with the beast. They have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. They shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords, King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Guess who that is? That is us. We are called and chosen and faithful. We ride back and we take out the eighth empire who the Antichrist is over. That eighth empire is in the back half of the tribulation, the last 3.5 years. The seventh empire is the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. Everyone understand that? I'll show you in scripture what that's going to say. On your page 3, you're going to see that is the overlay once again of those maps that from your last week's notes, those areas or regions, it says that this beast and Antichrist from the eighth and seventh empire are going to come out of this area, that red overlapped area. That red overlapped area signifies not just the Roman, but the Byzantine and also the Ottoman empires, okay? They just kept changing hands over the years, right? So these two empires will only be in power for a short time. That's the seventh and eighth empire. One is the seventh, the eighth. The eighth empire will rule for 42 months, and the other for the first 42 months is the seventh empire. Those 42 plus 42, 84 months, is the 7-year tribulation period. So tonight we're going to pick off, like I said, if you said, well, that was kind of fast. If you weren't here last week, that was really fast. If you were here last week, that still might have been fast, but it was a good refresher. Okay? Now, sometimes some people ask me, say, you know what, a couple times I got lost, but then you brought it back. So what is going to happen? This is new information for a lot of people. And that's why I'm giving you charts, I'm giving you graphs, and every week when we build on it, I overlap. So don't get scared. Sometimes you go, I'm not grading you. No one's getting graded. It's going to be okay. But what I want you to do is retain as much as you can. So it is important to me that you understand, because I want you to go share this with people, and I want you to yourself to understand this. So at the end of the night, if you got questions, that's great. But no, I'm aware of this is new information for people. And so that's why every week I do a little recap and I try to hit the spots where it's like, oh, okay. So once again, that red overlay, that is the Roman Empire, Byzantine, and Ottoman, okay? So the Roman Empire, you have predominantly Catholic church, then the Byzantine, Christian, you have Ottoman, right? So you guys understand that all these different things are going on here. So once we're looking at and proving last days or the time of the end. Jesus is the one, not only Jesus used the time of the end, Old Testament, the time of the end. One of the reasons I'm going over the time of the end, we're going to be doing this for several weeks, is many people say, wait, I think, I don't believe there's a time of the end. I believe we're just riding this thing out, and then it gets glorious, or people think this is heaven right now on earth. Well, if you read the book of Revelations, this can't be heaven. Okay? Once again, the streets of gold don't have potholes in the Bible, so we don't blow tires on the streets of gold in the Bible. I don't even think we drive. We actually have drivers. So that's something I added. But there's dew from the mountain, which we know is Mountain Dew now. So there are elements of why you could get, mixed up a little bit thinking we're on heaven. But this is not heaven, everyone. This is not the glorious part that God has prepared for us. It says, eye has not seen, ears not heard. We can't even fathom how glorious this is going to be. So don't get caught up in false teaching and go, oh, well, no, there is no such thing as a rapture. Oh, no, there is no 7-year tribulation. It's all throughout the Bible. That's just as crazy as saying, well, yeah, man can lay with a man, no big deal. No, the Bible says you can't. And then the Bible says there is this period of time. It's the time of the end. These great calamities will happen. Jesus is going to come in the clouds. We're going to get caught up. There's this going to be a time of terrible tribulation. And then at the end of time, we come down, we rule, we reign for 1,000 years. I mean, this is the Bible. That's Bible. If anyone says anything contrary to that, get out of there. Argue with them first. Right? Iron sharpens iron. But then after a while, Titus says, you know what? Don't give in to vain reasonings. Talk to them twice. If they get stupid, they're done. We waste a lot of time arguing the word with people. Do you know that? Christians spend so much time arguing with people. It's like, this is what the word says. And it's not okay to sit down for a little bit and talk to them. It's like, hey, if you don't want to get it, you know, I'm done. I'm just, let's move on. It's okay. That's all right. But we can't spend so much time arguing with that. We got other things to do. People need to see Jesus. So John wrote here in Revelation that these five kings or five kingdoms have fallen. These are five kingdoms from last week's notes that have already been. So here in Revelation 17:10, King James, there are seven kings or kingdoms, five are already fallen, and one is. So at the time John was writing, one of these eight kingdoms is in existence, which is the sixth kingdom. And the other has not yet come. That's the seventh. And when he comes, he must continue a short space, or 3.5 years. I'll show you where it says that. Most scholars traditionally look at this and say, when they say there is five empires that were non-existent in John's day. So how do you know that he's talking about the sixth empire when he's writing? Because there was five empires before John's day. The Egyptian empire, the Syrian, Babylonian, Medo-Persian, and Grecian empire, the Greek empire. Those were the five empires that existed before John wrote this. As he wrote this, he said there's a kingdom which is now, which would be the sixth empire. Does everyone understand that? Okay, just breaking this down. Verse 11, the beast, and the beast was the beast. The beast, or this kingdom of the Antichrist, the beast. This beast, this kingdom, was and is not. So it was, and then it is not. So this kingdom has already existed. You guys get that? There was five kingdoms that had already taken place before John. John was writing, he says, there's a kingdom happening right now. Roman Empire, six. Then there's one to follow. But he says after that, verse 11, then the beast kingdom comes, which is the eighth empire, and that had already taken place. So there is an empire, or that area that you saw in that red overlay, there's going to be a rising once again from them, from that 10 nations and the Antichrist, and they will form the eighth empire. Does everyone understand? This is what they're talking about in this passage, okay? The kingdom at the time John was writing was Rome. Rome was ruling in John's day. In fact, the Apostle Paul was beheaded in Rome. The Apostle Peter was beheaded in Rome. Well, Pastor Graham, give me some more good news. John was arrested and put in the Isle of Patmos because of the Roman emperor. So we know that the time when John said, and there's a kingdom now, these five already happened, and here's the sixth kingdom. Revelations 1:9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in the tribulation and the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. So, as he's writing in Revelations 17, verse 10, he's talking about there's a kingdom that was. Now, he's writing from the Isle of Patmos, which we know he was imprisoned on. Okay? It's just giving you the little background. So Rome was ruling the kings of the earth in John's day, the sixth empire. So the question is, then what is the next? What is the seventh empire that will continue, John wrote, for a short space or for 3.5 years? This is key. The seventh empire is coming, but it will only last for 3.5 years. Here's the three beliefs or theories behind that seventh empire, okay? These are just theories that people throw it out there. First, they thought it was the Turkish Empire. It killed millions of Christians, and that was the Ottoman Empire we went over last week. They ruled for 400 years. Millions of Christians were killed, and 1.5 million were killed in Romania alone. Some believe that was the seventh empire. I'm just going over, this is what some people thought in the past, okay? The Seventh Empire, also people thought, was Germany and the Third Reich. They killed millions of Jews. First and Second World War, they were involved in Adolf Hitler. He would have taken off probably most of Europe if it wouldn't have been for the Allies. If you guys know the history in World War II, and even in German, the D-Day. Now, the D-Day, if you guys remember, June 6, 1944, right? Now, some say the Seventh Empire was Hitler because he killed 6 million Jews, and that was the empire that continued for a short space of time, but we know that was more than 3.5 years, so we keep going. Theories of the Seventh Empire also now is the European Union. When that come into place, you guys remember when the European Union first formed, there was 10 nations, you guys remember that? So all of a sudden, wait! This is the 10, these are the 10 kings that they're going to join with the Antichrist, right? And they're going to form this thing. And now all of a sudden, they kept adding, right? Kept adding nations. Okay, well, maybe it's not them. Well, and then part of the picture of the previous 6 kingdoms, right? The existing one of Rome, the previous 5, they don't overlay into the European Union. Just a few do. So this is why some people thought along the way when they were going through the Ottoman Empire and you guys understand what I'm saying now, and the Turkish invasion, they thought this could be it, but it still didn't fulfill all of Scripture, okay? It didn't fulfill all of Scripture. Someone came to my office last week, and they were just talking about, the dreams and different things that they have, and I said, you know what? You know, is God trying to speak to me? What's happening? So I said, you know, the further you are away from something, it's fuzzy. You know, if you ever walked on the beach, and Kelly and I, when we lived in Florida, we'd go to Marco Island, and there was this point. There was a point out there, and there's a hotel, and there's this couple little crosses sitting out there, rocks at about 50 feet out into the ocean. And I remember the first time we were down there, the kids were, I think, probably about 9 and 6. And we were looking out there, and it's like, you know what? We're just going to walk there and walk back. I mean, it was kind of fuzzy. You know, you could see there's stuff. I couldn't tell there were crosses at the time. I just saw this thing. It's like, you know, we're just going to walk up there. Now, as you go walking towards something, things become clear, right? So it's like, hey, oh, well, that's another hotel. Oh, there's a restaurant. And that's, I thought that was something. Oh, my goodness, that's like another 10 miles away. As we reached our destination, it became very clear, right? The closer you get to something, the clearer it becomes. I wound up putting Paige on my shoulders and walking like 27 miles back in the sand with no shoes on. My feet were actually obliterated. They were just, they're just gone at the bottom. Walking in sand bare feet for 20 miles, it happens. So I realized that don't base everything on fogginess, but there's nothing wrong with, and this is why I want to go back, in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, a lot of end time prophecy was going around, it was circulating. Why? Because things that were happening culturally in the country, I mean, there's Roe v. Wade, just a lot of things, oh my goodness, it's time to the end. And then, you know, you had Vietnam, you had all these wars, I mean, you had things going on everywhere. So what happens is it's not that they were, I want to say wrong, it's just they, with what the information they had, they were speculating. You understand that? So when they came together, they said, man, this could be this, could be this, this could be this. Now, this is the great thing. We have the benefit of hindsight. We also have the internet. We have so much more information, and we've had 35, 40 more years of information and to understand and see how things formulate. Right now, things look so clear. Do you agree? This is why when we go through this every week, our eyes go, oh my goodness, that's happening right now. Where before, it's like, well, it could be this, it could be this. Now it's kind of like, oh my goodness, this is what is happening. Now there's still some foggy things, but as time goes, it becomes more clear. So what we're going to do is I'm not going to just go into detail on those 3 theories, okay, the Seventh Empire. I'm going to skip ahead. I'm going to talk about the Seventh Empire because it's not one of those 3. And we're going to see about prophecy about coming upon empire number 8, which is the empire of the Antichrist, because the one will answer the other, all right? So here are some facts regarding the empire of the Antichrist. So we have a seventh empire that's going to happen the first part of the tribulation, and then an 8th empire, that empire is going to rise out of one of the former empires. It's going to be geographically one of those empires. First thing about the empire of the Antichrist is 10 kings will surrender their nations in 1 hour. This is right out of the Bible. Chapter 17, verse 12 of Revelation. The 10 horns, which thou saw are 10 kings or kingdoms, And they've received no kingdom as of yet, but receive power as kings for 1 hour with the beast. They, these, have one mind and shall give the power and strength unto the beast. So one of those, that eighth empire, is they're going to come together and they're going to sign over their you lead us now. These 10 nations say, you lead us. And that is to the Antichrist. And that is called the beast. That empire is the beast. When it says the beast rising up, it represents a lot of different things, okay? So you have, they're going to turn over. So one of those facts that is going to take place, that the Bible says, is during that beginning of the eighth empire, that they're going to, these kings or kingdoms are going to sign over their rights or power to the Antichrist. And they're going to come to power first before the Antichrist can take them over. You are going to see this coalition or these 10 nations come to power before this takes place. And that will be the seventh empire. So these 10 nations have to be a coalition first for 3.5 years. Something's going to happen after that 3.5 years, and they're going to assign power over, and they're going to say, Antichrist, now you lead us. Daniel 7:8. I considered the horns, and behold, there came upon among them another little horn. The reason this is important is the first thing that came were the 10 horns, and then the little horn came out of it. 10 horns had to exist. These 10 kingdoms had to exist first. And then another little horn before, when there were 3 of the first horns plucked out by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man and a mouth speaking great things. We're going to talk about that more in about 2 weeks. But I want you to understand, these 10 kingdoms have to come first before the Antichrist takes them over. Why am I saying that? That's why it's important what we studied last week. Where's these areas of these previous empires, because these 10 nations are going to be from those previous empires of that overlay. There's going to be a coalition. Well, how does that benefit me? When you watch the news, you can see it unfolding every single time you watch the news. As you saw last week, as Egypt, which was an ally, really, of Israel. Egypt was an ally to Israel up until we stopped giving them $200 billion. Money works, right? Hey, United States said, well, George Bush, when he was in, he says, okay, don't mess with Israel. You're going to be a presence in the Middle East, and we're going to give you $200 billion not to do that. Now, if I was a bully on the playground and someone gave me $200 billion, I would not beat anybody up. So that's what they did. They didn't touch them. But now, last week, what happened in Egypt? Several of their members of Congress and their government have been killed by the Muslim Brotherhood and ISIS. Several. So what did he do? He said, you know what I think would be a good idea? Is if he met with the United States, this is last week current event, he says, I think it would be a good idea if the United States told Israel to stop building in Palestine area and the unoccupied areas, and that would bring peace for me. Because the Muslim Brotherhood is putting pressure on the president of Egypt to put pressure on the United States. These things are all intertwined. That's why to start understanding what's going on is you understand how close we are. It's a reminder. I don't know, do you guys put reminders on your phones? Anybody put reminders on their phone? Okay, everyone else is always late. Okay, so do you have reminders? I'm kind of being funny, kind of. Okay, so you have reminders on your phone. You set alarm clocks, right? You do all these things. Why? So you're not late. All of these things, when you read God's word, it's a reminder how close it is. It's almost here. I mean, I got to get, and what does that reminder do? I got to get ready. I got to be on time. When I have an appointment, it usually rings 2 hours before, 1 hour, 30, and 15 minutes. It's on my phone. It just reminds me, okay, button up. Okay, I got to shorten it up. If I'm traveling somewhere, I know I got to start getting back in that area. Why? It reminds me that appointment's coming. That appointment is coming. Every time you read the word, especially this, it's the appointments are coming. Every time you watch the news, the appointment's coming. So 10 kings are going to give their kingdoms or nations to the Antichrist in 1 hour. These 10 nations have to exist first. Now, once again, going back to the war of Gog and Magog, this is Ezekiel 38 and 39. We studied that. Now, it doesn't say those 10 nations. It mentions the 10 nations specifically in the War of Gog and Magog, but the 10 nations of the Seventh Empire, it doesn't say specifically. It just gives that region, right, of the old Byzantine, Ottoman, or Roman Empire. War of Gog and Magog, though, who are going to come up against Israel at right around the time of the rapture of the church. Seven of those 10 nations were okay with Israel up until 2012. When the Arab Spring happened, seven of those 10 nations turned, and now those 10 nations mentioned in Ezekiel 38 and 39 are now all against Israel. So that war is the first one that's going to take place. Bible mentions specifically those nations, which are now all against Israel. Does everyone understand? Once that's your alarm right there. Boop. Your appointment's almost here. As a result of that taking place and those nations surrounding them, see, this is where I'm going to go off this a little bit because I think it's important for you to understand. I'm just going to remind you. These 10 nations in the War of Gog and Magog will take place right around the time of the rapture of the church. The Bible says that the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, there is going to be peace on the earth. Bible says at the end of the war on Gog and Magog, which just lasts a day, they're not even a shot is going to go again. They're going to come up against Israel. And all 10 nations are going to turn on themselves. There's going to be hailstorms. The Bible says this is all, it's going to be a supernatural thing. And it says all of them will no longer mess with Israel because God's hand's on them. The word that is used in Ezekiel 38 and 39, it says there will be a time of peace. But we know in the, not just there, but Daniel in the New Testament Revelations, there's going to be a time of peace the first 3.5 years. Why? Because all the wars right now in the Middle East are about who? Israel. So all the nations try to come up against Israel, and it doesn't work. Why? Supernaturally, it says no one's going to fire a shot. They're going to turn on themselves. Israel's not going to do anything. They're going to say, whoa, we can't touch them. So there's going to be a time of peace for 3.5 years. Is everyone following? This is what's going to happen. During that 3.5 years, we're going to go over this in a second, there's going to be two witnesses, then we're gone. I mean, that right around that time, the rapture takes place, they're going to come up against Israel, all the Christians are gone, bam, they're going to try to attack them, still can't get them. Bam, then two witnesses just jump into Jerusalem and they're going to start witnessing, okay? So here we go, next, number two, regarding the empire of the Antichrist. These kings are going to submit and help destroy a city. The 10 kings were going to submit and will help destroy a city in 1 hour. They're going to come under what the Antichrist wants to do, and they are the 7th Empire joining the Antichrist for the 8th Empire at the halfway point, Revelations 18, 15. The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off from the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. This city that was ruling over the world is Mystery Babylon. The city ruling over the world in Jesus' day was Rome, Italy. So something's going to happen that in Mystery Babylon, and they're going to watch this attack taking place. Now, most people believe that the false prophet spoken of in John is representing the lamb and two horns. We're going to go over this right now. So you have this attack going on in the city, Mystery Babylon, which used to be Rome, Revelations 13, 11. So that was used to be the headquarters. Now, and at the end of time, it'll be Mystery Babylon. We went over that last week. Revelations 13, 11 now. I behold another beast coming out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke or roared in the Amplified like a dragon. John said there will be a lamb with horns rising up from the earth, which is the false prophet. I believe that the two horns, and when I say I believe, it's because of going through Scripture. And well, the next couple weeks, once again, we're going to go through this. It's going to represent Islam and a form of an apostate Christianity. Why do we know that? Because we know there's going to be three religions, an apostate Christianity. Islam and the Jewish people will be here during the tribulation period. John also sees a seven-headed beast with 10 horns rising up from the sea in Revelation 13:1. Read this from the Amplified. As I stood on the sandy beach, I now saw a beast coming up out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads. On his horns, he had 10 royal crowns or diadems and blasphemous titles on his heads. Last fall, we went over this, that this blasphemous title, the blasphemous titles are, there is actual, these 10 nations that are mentioned in the War of Gog and Magog and that whole region and the old Ottoman Empire. Right now, they have, Allah is the only God. There is no God but Allah. In Revelation 19, it says that's blasphemous. So John saw these 10 nations rising up out of the water with blasphemy on their foreheads. These are these 10 nations, this seventh empire, coming up, rising up with blasphemy, meaning it's an Islamic, Muslim caliphate that's coming up against them. Now, when these 10 kings give their kingdoms over to the Antichrist and to the beast, that's halfway through the tribulation. And this is really important. They're going to destroy a city in 1 hour. The city, oh, this is so good. The city is going to be Rome. Rome was the city ruling over the kings of the earth. So the false prophet, right, and many of the Catholic people believe it's going to be a defective pope. These are Catholic people. Many Catholic people don't like what's going on with their pope right now. They believe, because the Bible says there's going to be an apostate Christianity at the end of time. Remember, this is the false prophet. He's going to have to intertwine the two, Islam and apostate Christianity, and I'll tell you why in a second. But this defective pope will move the headquarters from Rome to the city of Jerusalem for the last 42 months of the tribulation period. There is going to be an apostate Christianity happening. Rome will be destroyed. And the Bible says, oh, hold on, I'm going to get ahead of myself. It's interesting to note that the Muslims believe that when the Mahdi, this is from last July and August, that the Muslims believe that when their Mahdi, or their enlightened one, you guys remember the Savior? He will rise and he will unite the world under a caliphate, under Islam. So it's going to be a government, right? A government and a religion in one. Then when he comes to power, some say Isa or Esau, which is the name for Jesus in Arabic, will come with him and destroy, and this is out of the Quran, and will destroy the swine and tear down the crosses. The swine is anybody, any religion contrary to Islam. He will tell the people he was not the Son of God. So this is in the Quran, this is what they teach, that there will be a person called Jesus who comes back. He will tell the people he was not the Son of God. He will point all worship to Islam, forcing all people to join the Islamic religion. So you will have your Jewish people, your Christian, right, who grew up in the Christian faith that did not go into the rapture of the church. You're going to have this person that the Quran says is going to be named Isa, or this false prophet Jesus. He is going to tell them, we all need to worship Islam now. This is end time stuff, everyone. This is what's happening. Revelation 17. The 10 horns which I saw upon the beast, these shall hate the whore. The whore is other religions. And shall make her desolate and naked, strip every single religion, gone. And shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in the hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. God has said, okay, now it's getting towards the end. I'm going to allow this to happen. Here you go. Wipe everything out. Everything's going to come under Islam if you want to live. That's why we got to take the mark. Everyone remember that? So the heat is going to be turned up. For the first 3.5 years, it's not. When the rapture happens, there's peace. There's no marks. You don't have to. Why? There's food everywhere. Remember, when we go, a lot of jobs are going to be opened up. A lot of food, cars everywhere. But then after 3.5 years, something starts to happen. 7 bowls, seals, trumpets, famine, fire from the sky. We study all that. So this is what's happening. So wait, why would this happen? Because all power now, these 10 nations, halfway, the peaceful time is over. Now they're giving power over to the beast, this eighth empire, and the Antichrist who's ahead of it. So they turn it over. As a result of that, anyone who doesn't take the mark, everyone gets wiped out. Why wouldn't you take the mark? Because you don't believe in that religion. It says, so those people, they'll hate the whore, or in the Amplified, hate the harlot. Everybody else, if you don't agree with Islam, you're getting wiped out. Number 3, regarding the empire of the Antichrist, these 10 kings and the Antichrist will control the economy. They will control the economy, especially not just in the world, it says, but especially in their province, in their region, right? These 10 nations where they're going to be living. Now, it's going to be a global thing, but specifically and especially right there for the last 42 months of the tribulation. This is Revelation 13 now. He caused both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, this is important. Once again, I'm going to remind you, verse 17. You guys know that there's little chips, right? Not just RFID chips, but you have little chips and Fluffy the dog and the cat, and people put them everywhere. I mean, people have them now for doctors, for health information, and so forth. It says, the person who takes this mark or chip has to do it because of the name of the beast or the number of his name. You guys? So there's a reason why you have this chip. It doesn't say for medical reasons. It's because you say, I buy into the system of the Antichrist, which is the beast or eighth empire, which means I will follow Islam, I will follow the governmental leader of the laws, which really is going to be Sharia law, and also I will buy, sell, and trade underneath that format, which is with the chip. So verse 18, so here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. Now, we looked at that before as well in the Greek and the original Latin back in 340 AD. It says the symbol of the beast. Symbols are numbers. Numbers are symbols. It's that symbol of a man, and his number is 666. If you want a breakdown of that, I strongly suggest it's July 23rd of last year. It goes into great detail what 666 means. Not everyone's going to run around with 666 on their forehead. Not everyone's going to have 666 on their hand. Once again, it represents, in verse 17, it's a name of a beast and the number of his name. It's a system. Okay? It doesn't mean it's numbers. Those 666 represent something. It's not in gematria, but the 600 represents, the 600 means chi, the 60 means xi, and the 6 means sigma. The 600 is an apostate Christianity, or the chi Christos. The 60 is the symbol of Allah. You can look up in the Arabic. And the 6 is right out of the Bible, and John wrote this, that is the sign of a slave. I am a slave to this religious system and this governmental system, referring to verse 17. Everyone, that's a very quick overview, but this is what's referring to. Okay, that's the chip, what's going to represent. But it's going to be in the right hand or the forehead. You're not going to be able to buy or sell. This is 42 months in. The technology for this is already here. The making of these chips have already begun. There are reports I showed you in current events and in video clips that the UN is supposed to have these global chips ready by 2017. This is not a report from anyone's show that is in their basement of their house, who's a conspiracy theorist. This is ABC, CBS News, BBC News, okay? This is happening. But people have speculated for centuries, what does it mean and what does it represent? How can you purchase in someone's name? How can you purchase with a number? We already purchased with a number. What's your credit card number? What do you think the chip's going to contain? A credit card number. It's going to be a number. You're going to be assigned a number. In whose name? That card is going to be issued in the empire of the beast. That's how you're going to buy. Is it a MasterCard? Visa? No, it's the beast, the eighth empire, whatever they're going to call it. So it's very hard. These 10 kings and Antichrist are going to set up a buying system. And if you're not in the religion, you lose. You're not going to eat unless you convert to the religion or you get beheaded. Why would people take the mark? Because they're hungry. I've heard people say, you know what? This message needs to be preached to anyone, even people who don't believe. Yeah, because during when the rapture takes place, I think there's going to be a lot of people who now believe. And they're not going to know what to do. Maybe some of this is going to stick with them and they're going to hear it. I know it's going to be harder, but it actually says the people who know their hearts are actually going to be hardened. God's going to do that. But it's hard to think about in a society that we live in, how could this really happen? Could people really withhold food from you if you don't switch to religion? Sure, they just withheld food from a Virginia school district if they didn't vote. Right? I mean, that just happened. That was all over the news. Hey, you want your after-school program and food? Fine. Vote in the LGBT and transgender. Unless not, you don't get your food. Why do you think all these colleges just folded and changed? Because they want government money. We're not even living in a high-pressured situation yet. But you imagine when everyone's going around beheading people? Hey, all you have to do is take a mark, and you're looking at people getting slaughtered all around you. Your neighborhood's gone. It's like, seriously, it sounds, hey, where's Bobby? Got beheaded yesterday. What are you going to do? Are you going to do this? Are you going to take the mark? Well, the Bible says he who takes the mark, there is no hope. It's done. Fourth thing regarding the empire of the Antichrist. Y'all with me tonight? All right. They will assault Jews, seize Jerusalem, and behead enemies. Wow. Do you think people want Jerusalem now? Wait till the tribulation starts. You think there's an anti-Semitic thing going on right now? Wait to the halfway through the tribulation. The kingdom or coalition that will assault the Jewish people and it's going to take over Jerusalem and behead their enemies, enemies who will not belong to Islam. Revelation 24. I saw thrones and they sat upon them and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded, that are people on the earth. John is now sharing the story. He goes back and forth from chapter 11 to 13 to 17 to 19. He shares what he sees during the seven-year period. First, he's on the ground looking up into heaven, and he's talking about what's going on in here, and he sees things happening. And then he also talks about when he's in heaven, what's going on in there, and why he looks down on the earth. So here is he up. He's up in heaven. He sees the thrones, and they're giving out judgments now, right? And he sees the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Christ. During the tribulation, he sees people who are beheaded. Whew. Be absent from the body is be present with the Lord. They start popping up. And for the word of God, and they were beheaded because of the word of God, and they did not worship the beast. Remember, the Antichrist is over the beast, which is the system. Okay, the beast is the system. The beast is the religion. It's the money part. It's everything. It's the governmental part. The Antichrist heads up this beast. So it says they did not worship the beast. They did not take the mark and get into this system. Neither his image, neither had received the mark on their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So they only get to live with him for 1,000 years? No, now they're talking about the millennium reign of Christ. And after that, here's a little tidbit, Satan gets released just for a little bit. Well, that doesn't seem fair. Well, no, some people are actually going to make it through. It's all the people in Iowa right now burying tunnels underneath, and they're silos. Just kidding. Zechariah 14:2. Well, you're looking, really? There's actually there are. There are actually 27, there's 27 decommissioned silos across the United States right now from nuclear sites that people are building hotels in. They're doomsdayers. They're building all these, right? There's two in Iowa right now. They start at $5 million a condo. It's on the news all the time. You can watch it. Zechariah 14:2, Old Testament. I'm going to gather all nations against Jerusalem. Oh, wait. Is this end time stuff? Yep. This is talking about in this seven-year period at the beginning, in the middle of the tribulation, he's going to gather nations against Jerusalem to battle. The city shall be taken, and the houses riffled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Whoo. They're going to come in. They're going to start killing the Jewish people, taking them over. They're going to start taking the city of Jerusalem. One of the reasons the Antichrist will invade the city of Jerusalem is because there's two witnesses there. There's two witnesses in Jerusalem. For 3.5 years now, the rapture of the church takes place. The war of Gog and Magog is over. No one touches Israel. So here is these two guys walking around. Now, there is still the spirit of the Antichrist that's there. Okay? It doesn't want the person of Jesus Christ talked about. There's a heaviness, but no one's going to touch Israel for 3.5 years. So these two witnesses, and the Bible says, they're preaching with such power, they send plagues, judgments, and they call down fire from heaven. These two witnesses do that. I'm going to go back. I think in your notes it says Revelations 11:7. I'm going to go back. I'm going to read verse 3 if you want to jot that down in your notes. Revelations 11, but we're going to start with verse 3. I'm going to start with verse 3. In your notes, I start with verse 7. It says, I'm going to grant the power of prophecy to two witnesses for 1,260 days or 42 months or 3.5 years dressed in sackcloth. These witnesses are the two olive trees and the two lampstands which stand before the Lord. If anyone attempts to injure them, once again, there's still the spirit of, even today, and there always has been a spirit of the Antichrist that's walking around. Even though no one's going to be, can't attack Israel right now for 3.5 years, they're still going to be out because these two witnesses, it says, if anyone attempts to injure them, in verse 5, fire pours from their mouth and consumes their enemies. Oh, wow. There's going to be, you can imagine Enoch walking around and someone says something to him, not bad breath. Actual fire just coming out. verse 6, these two witnesses actually have the power to shut up the sky so no rain may fall during the days of prophesying. Their prediction of events relating to Christ's kingdom and its speedy triumph, and they all have power to turn the waters into blood and to smite and scourge the earth with all manner of plagues as often as they choose. Wow. You want to mess with me? Water turn into blood. You want to mess with me? Bam. I believe that God's word is true. I believe every single bit of it. There are things happening right now in the natural I can't believe that are taking place, let alone this is a supernatural thing. Verse 7 now. It's in your notes, Revelation 11. Then when they shall have finished their testimony, they're done witnessing, 3.5 years is up. Bible says 3.5 years in verse 3 of Revelations 11. They're going to do this for 42 months. Then the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome and kill them. Their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Wait, where was he crucified? Jerusalem. Where are they going to be killed at? Jerusalem, which is also going to be called Egypt, where he brought the people out of, and Sodom, which he destroyed. And they, verse 9, of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies. So in verse 9, it says everyone across the whole world is going to see their dead bodies laying in the street. You talk about end time prophecy, that was impossible when this was written. John wrote this about 2,100 years ago. This is impossible to take place. 2,000 years ago, impossible. No one could watch this all take place. Now, you can put it on your phone and go, oh my goodness, see those guys? They just got killed in the street. No one could kill them for 3.5 years. Now they're dead. And their bodies are going to lay there for 3.5 days and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in the graves. They that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice. They're going to be celebrating in the streets of Jerusalem and all over the world. They shall send gifts to one another. Can you imagine this? Because these two prophets tormented them and dwelt on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them. They stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them. Yeah, that freaked me out too. They were laying in the streets for 3.5 days, watched on film. And the people are celebrating. You guys, this is going to be a worldwide event that's taking place. You can't even imagine the darkness that's going to exist during this time. Dark is going to celebrate taking out the light. They're going to rejoice, just like Satan did when Jesus was on the cross. 3 days later, bam, they pop up. Whew. Everyone who saw them, Amplified, it says, terror fell upon them. Uh-oh. We got this one wrong. We got it wrong 3.5 years ago when the rapture took place. We got it wrong again. So the Antichrist, by invading Jerusalem and killing the two witnesses, he is going to set up shop 3.5 years into the tribulation, kill the two witnesses, which one is definitely Elijah. The other one, I believe, is Enoch. Some people say it's Moses. We're not going to debate that tonight, but that's not heresy either way. I'm just saying that there's going to be those two witnesses. And the Antichrist becomes the hero among the Muslim people. And this is where he sets up his headquarters, is right there in Jerusalem. Wow. In the last 42 months. How do I know that? Daniel 11:45. Once again, Old Testament, written about 630, this particular passage, about 630 BC. He shall plant the tabernacles, the Antichrist, of his palace, of his headquarters, between the seas and the glorious holy mountain, that Mount Zion. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. So he thinks he's going to get it. He sets up shop, and it's still not that. I want to read this in the Amplified. He shall pitch his palatial tents between the seas, Mediterranean and what's to the right? What is it? Not the Red Sea. Dead Sea? Black Sea? What is it? What do you guys think? That, okay. You got right to the Judea and Samaria, right to the right of that. Right? You got the Jordan River comes down, dumps into the Red Sea, and to the west is the Mediterranean. So in between the seas and the glorious holy Mount Zion, planted right there. Daniel 12:7. I heard a man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river. When he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, he swore by him that liveth forever that it shall be for a time, times and a half. Now remember, Daniel was written, a chunk of Daniel was written in Arabic. They use different verbiage. So this particular verbiage shall be for a time, times and a half. This is one of the cool things. I like to read the Amplified as a parallel. This is one of the new Bibles I just got is the Amplified and King James parallel. So here's the Amplified breaking down the Arabic in Daniel. I heard a man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river. He held his right hand, his left hand towards the heaven, and swore by him who lives forever that it shall be for a time, times and a half, a time, or 3.5 years. And the parenthetical, the Amplified, will give you a lot of the Greek and Hebrew, will break it down for you. So if you were to read that and go, wow, it shall be for time, times and a half and a time. Whoa, that sounds like a crazy time. No, it's for 3.5 years. Regarding the empire of the empire of the Antichrist. Daniel 7:25, he's going to speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. What does that mean again? 3.5 years. In the Arabic, that equation means 3.5 years. So you have 3.5 years, the Bible says, into a time of peace. He conquers the 10 nations, sign this treaty with the Antichrist. Bam, he wipes out headquarters in Rome, plops down, takes over Jerusalem. Bam, the last 3.5 years start. How do I know that? Daniel says so. This is when it takes place. Revelation says this is when it takes place. So now, the last 3.5 years, he's going to change times and the dividing of time. In the Amplified, it says, he's going to change the time of sacred feasts, holy days, and the law. Interesting. Talking about the Jewish and Christian calendar. So look at it this way. If an Islamic caliphate came to power anywhere in the world, we're going to choose the Western world is what I wrote down. A civilized, established nation, they would have to ask yourselves, what would it mean then to change times and laws? The portion of Daniel, once again, it was written Aramaic, and the first thing a Muslim leader would do is force a change of religion and day of worship. So this passage in Daniel 7, it says the first thing that he's going to do halfway into this tribulation period, he would force everyone to worship on Fridays. Saturdays is the Jewish worship, the traditional Christianity is 7. So they would be forced not just to worship on Friday, it would also, they would be forced to join their religion. Everyone understand that? So this Antichrist, the system of the beast, is going to take over, and they are going to start beheading people because they're going to start changing when people worship, which is their times or religions and calendar. Secondly, they're going to force a change of religion, change to an Islamic calendar. The Islamic calendar began in 622 AD, and it's a different calendar than we use. It's actually called an Islamic calendar. When you look at the word times and laws in verse 25 in the Aramaic, it can mean change religion and the timing of the calendar, or changing the calendar listing the times. So they're going to be not just in control of the religion, but when you do this. Does everyone understand that? The actual calendar is going to be implemented. Everything's going to change as you know it. Number 3, the empire of the Antichrist, 3.5 years into it, they're going to implement Sharia law. In the news and many times during current events, prior to this Bible study, we've talked about in Islam, they want to implement Sharia law, not just in Iraq and Syria, but it's happened in the United States in 2011, 2012. They had cases in Tampa when we were in Florida. They have, it's in portions right now in Boston, Massachusetts. It's in 7 different major cities right now where they have city blocks that are under Sharia law. If you go down into Dearborn right now, you could say some of that is under Sharia law. There's just whatever that Sharia law is, they're a governing body of not just a religion, but a government, and they handle everything according to their Islamic laws. This is, doesn't matter what the American laws are, doesn't matter, they're going to handle how they want to. These Sharia laws are strictly regulated according to Islamic law. It has nothing to do with the United States, and that's why when they do and act upon it, they said, hey, You are violating my right of religion, my religious freedom. I get to implement Sharia law because that is my religious freedom. This is the fight that's been in court since 2011. I know in 23 different cases. I looked it up. There are 2 things we see from Daniel that are predicted about the last man who is coming, the Antichrist, and this last kingdom, the 8th. I can see how this all fits into an Islamic scenario where an Islamic leader takes over all this part of the world and forces a tax. This is also part of Sharia law. Sharia law, think about the old days in Chicago, right? There's a tax if you want to do business on my street, right? There you go. Well, people just don't have to listen or pay that tax. I would not pay a tax just because there's Sharia law and they're going to make me pay a tax. Fine, they're going to behead you. Okay, I'll pay a tax. If you don't pay a tax, I'll behead your wife. Okay, I'll pay the tax. You can see how easy it is to collect taxes? I'll behead you. That's probably one of the biggest motivators you could ever have to pay something. So there's going to be people running around, remember, in the Middle East. Not only are they going to be beheading, which right now ISIS is doing, they're going to have weapons of mass destruction, they're going to have chemical weapons, they're going to have all these things where they can wipe out all cities. If you don't want to come under Islamic Sharia law, bam, they're just going to wipe people out. Islam has never conquered through peace. It has always been by swords, guns, weapons. Look at ISIS. They're wiping out all forms of people. That is how they conquer, when you don't follow their religion. It's not about taking land. It's about you turning over to their religion. Do you understand that? Well, Pastor, when people take land, don't they conquer it through war? This is about transferring over to their religion. This isn't about taking land. This is a religion. They're not going to ask, would you please convert? They're not going to knock on your door. Hey, how are you doing today? Would you like to convert to Islam? No. Phew! That's how it's going to happen. They're not going to ask nicely, then go away to the next house, the next house. This isn't trick-or-treat time. This is serious. If you don't accept it, off with your head. It's very easy. Once again, I'm trying to, because people have said, I can't fathom why people would take the mark during the tribulation. Even if a Christian who is semi-Bibled and knew some stuff, why would they take the mark? Because you're going to be beheaded. And to say, yeah, I will follow Allah, it seems like a very simple thing to say, doesn't it? Not to be beheaded. But once you take that mark, there's over. Now, there's been a few times in history when Islamic leaders have gotten along with the Jewish people and Christian people. We see it, like I said, we saw it in the Middle East up until 2011, 2012. There was countries who were okay with that. And even all throughout history, there's been times when they lived at peace. But when you look at history as a whole, there's always been unrest in the Middle East. There's always been an element of fanatical and Islamic, radical Islam towards other people. And the whole basis of it is they will not tolerate another religion. Everyone get this tonight? Like I said, once again, next week we're going to keep going. I could keep going right now, but I see it's 8:30. There's so much here. My desire, hope, wish is, like I said, every week, if you even got 70, 80%, the next week, what it does, it's going to overlap and it's going to put in those missing pieces. And then it's more. This is like reading the Word of God, right? You don't read it once and go, okay, I get it all. Joshua 1:8 says, man, every single day, the Word is never going to stop coming to my mouth, and I'm going to meditate on it day and night. I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to go do it. So every single week when we come here, that's why you got the notes. That's why you got the CDs. There's video online. You can tell your friends. Somebody came up in the church this past week. I said, I just want you to know, can't make it on Wednesday nights, but I sent an email out to 17 of my girlfriends, and we're all going to be doing the study together. And I just thought it was so cool. 4 weeks ago, I told you in China, remember, 41% of all the views are from China, 7% from Russia. As of yesterday, 51% of the views are now from China and 11% from Russia. Because this isn't about the United States, this is about the world. This is a global thing that's happening. People want to know what's going on. You and I have that responsibility as Esther 4:14 people. We're here for such a time as this to actually go, not just hear and keep it into ourselves, but to tell other people that Jesus is coming. Amen. All right, stand. We're going to close in prayer. Father, thank you for your word tonight. I thank you for the